One, go.
Good morning, friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. This is Resistance Radio coming at you this morning from www.enlightenedradio.org. This is your host every week, Stuart Acuff. We're the Memphis Blues today, so we're going to have a Memphis bluesy kind of show today, and I'm joined on the radio this morning by my great friend and leader, Brother John Case, the founder, president, chief executive officer, chief operating officer of enlightenedradio.org. He's going to be running the board for us today, engineering and co-hosting with me today in this show we hope is great, that we're trying to bring to you, full of heart and soul and mind and brains. We're going to talk about some important stuff today. We're going to talk about the innocence of our children. We're going to talk about what it means when a society excuses the rape of children. We're going to talk about the tax cuts and what the GOP, what the Republican Party is willing to pay to get those tax cuts. It all ties together, y'all. It all ties together. Immorality, amorality, immorality in high places. What you do to the least of these amongst us, what you do to a society that had, that once struggled to expand the notion of freedom, that once struggled to expand the reality of democracy, a society that once held its head up and said, we are going to lead the world in our commitment to democracy and freedom. A country that often fell short, that made huge mistakes, but at its core and in its history, our country and our society has always, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, tried to expand the notion of freedom and democracy to cover everybody, all God's children, all of us with the inner light, all of us connected by the patchwork quilt Dr. King talked about, of our common struggle and what we march toward, the common good. So it's great to have you with us this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, John Case, for being with us this morning. Welcome to the show. John, can we have our first song? What is this, Trouble Man by Marvin Gaye?
Yeah, Trouble Man, Marvin Gaye, and he's coming right up on up there on the telephone. You ready?
I told you this was going to be a Memphis day, y'all.
All right, okay, so here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Checking trouble, sure.
see some faces. I got good connections. They dig my directions. When people say that's okay, they don't bother me. I'm ready to make it. Don't care what the weather. Don't care about no trouble. Got myself together. I feel the kind of protection that's all around me.
We are in some troubling times. It's a troubled morning for a troubled man. We're in some troubling times, y'all. The Republicans are trying to jam this massive tax cut through to lower taxes on the richest amongst us, to lower the corporate tax rate from 35% down to 20% when the average corporation now only pays 18% after all the deductions and loopholes and everything else. And we're finding out now that their tax cuts, tax reform, is really an increase in taxes on the middle class. Because what they're going to cut to pay for the tax cut for the wealthy are those things that are important to all of us. We just found out yesterday that the Senate under Mitch McConnell is slipping into the Senate Republican tax cut bill, a cut, another attack on the Affordable Care Act, on Obamacare. So get on your phone right now. Don't turn your radio off. Don't turn your device off. Get on your phone and call your senator here in West Virginia, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, but call your senator, whatever state you're in, and say, no sneaking cuts or destruction of Obamacare into the tax cut plan. That number's 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Also, 202-225-3121. Please call right now. Tell them not to try to sneak in another assault on the Affordable Care Act into their rotten tax cut plan. Now, John Case, you and I are both fans and admirers of Professor Dr. Paul Krugman, an esteemed Nobel laureate at Princeton University, and also an op-ed columnist at the New York Times. And John, you understand economics. Of course, I don't, although I play an economist on the radio.
You play an economist at the bargaining table, right, yes.
Right. And I play one on the radio, and I wrote a book on the economy, but I had a professor at University of Minnesota helped me with that.
Well, I was the same kind of economist you are, and until I married an actual economist, and then I was subjected to numerous critiques, which I withered under. So anyway.
So are you saying that your beloved trained you up, John, on economics?
In some ways, yes, she did. Yeah, I mean, I lost my anger at the entire science as I had been. I took a course in economics when I was going back into college at one point, and You know, the professor enraged me. I was coming straight out of the UE, the United Electrical Workers, and and I remember, he kept talking about the efficiency in healthcare markets, and I kept, you know, I was as older than him probably, and I says, well, until it's your mother on the hospital steps that can't get in. You know, typical
case. Is this the truth, though?
Well, yes. You know, and you know, but you have to learn a certain respect for economic forces that are more like actual winds than the personalities they sometimes inhabit.
I hear you. Somebody we admire and respect very much yesterday, Paul Krugman.
Oh yeah,
wrote a great economist. Column. Yeah, called GOP Class Warfare: The Next Generation. And just a couple of things he wrote in there. I'm quoting Paul Krugman from the New York Times. This was yesterday, November 14, 2017. Both the Senate proposal and the similar proposal from House Republicans offer huge tax cuts to corporations and the wealthy. Then try to limit the impacts of those tax cuts on the budget deficit by clawing back tax credits and exemptions that mainly benefit the middle class. Of course, many in the middle class would see their taxes go up. But focusing on how many would have the increases would face tax increases gets at only a small part of what's going on here. Top down, this is Krugman speaking, top down class warfare coupled with false claims to be cutting taxes on the middle class has been standard GOP operating procedure for a long time. In fact, for policy wonks of a certain age, John Case, the current tax debate inspires an overwhelming sense of deja vu.
Yes, Ronald
Reagan. Because many of the tricks Republicans are using come right out of the Bush administration playbook in 2001 and 2003. End quote, Paul Krugman. And John, what did you say? You also referred to Reagan in 1980,
yeah. Well, yeah,
right?
The Reagan's rhetoric, you know.
Paul, you're absolutely right.
Actually, Paul Krugman, I believe, worked in the Reagan administration briefly. I'm not quite
did
sure
really?
In what capacity. Yeah, he did.
Must have been when he was working on his PhD.
Might have been. I don't believe it was. He was a specialist in international trade, and that's what he ended up getting his Nobel Prize for, you know. And
Wow.
He discovered that trade was not quite what the classic economist David Ricardo described. It was more complicated than that.
Right.
I think he worked briefly for the Reagan administration.
Well,
He knows all the arguments, yeah.
Speaking of the Reagan administration, one of the last times, not the last time, but one of the most recent times I was on Fox News, I had to debate Arthur Laffler. And you and I talked about this, John, right after the interview. Our friends and neighbors out there who are of a certain age, past 60, you may remember that Arthur Laffler's name was applied to the graph that demonstrated how trickle-down economics would work.
Right.
And my friend, mine and John Case's dear socialist friend, Earl Borden from New Hampshire,
right,
talking about the Reagan tax cut, says, trickle-down works like this. The donkey eats the corn, and then a few hours later, the birds are able to eat.
Oh, God. I know. Yes, the trickle down.
So call. Hey, John, so call Shelley Moore Capito. Call your senator this morning and tell him, don't try to destroy Obamacare a fourth time. How much, you know, all the polls showed that the great victories we had in New Jersey and Virginia had a lot to do with the Republican assault on health care. How many times are they going to try to destroy Obamacare? And are they so racist that they'll work against their own political interests to destroy the signature legacy of our first black president?
Well, wow. It appears John, that they are. They appear determined.
They appear determined, don't they? You posted a great piece yesterday on your economics listserv about that came out of the EPI on how tax cuts do not trickle down. They have never. We have 40 years of experience with them. That's what I was telling Lassler on Fox. But, you know, there's no evidence. I mean, we have the data. This is not theoretical anymore. We know what happens when you cut taxes. It does not translate into new jobs. It does not translate automatically into investment in the United States. It does not translate into productive capacity. It does not translate into infrastructure work. It does not translate into anything necessarily except larger payouts, an increase in stock prices, but nothing for the working class. You want to refer to that EPI piece, John?
Well, they have a that Josh Bivens. He's the author of that, and he's actually is making the rounds as a pretty. It's a pretty effective analysis of the an old argument that's actually been defeated many times. I mean, Paul Krugman, no less than has 20, 30 years ago, went after this in big time. And the idea is that the problem with the economy is there's a shortage of investment. Okay, right. And that that people aren't investing enough. Well, why aren't they investing enough? Well, it must be that they're being taxed too much. You know, and of course, right. the minute you say that, the billionaires say, "Oh my God, an economist who wants us to have our money," and they hire him and give him an institute, you know, or compel one of the universities they own or endow, you know, to create an entire new building and name it after him, you know, and all of a sudden he's got a school, and now you can expand your economics department by 5 times. You know, with the money we're going to give you, and all because you're going to name it after Laffer, you know, who's, you know, 10 years after, you know, you there's only a certain amount of those you can fund, okay? It spends itself in a fury of self-contradiction because none of that ever happened. I mean, the only time you can ever say that investments, if you're in the middle of a boom, then it's true that if you, right then, in other words, when if people, whatever money people had, they would invest, okay, because they're so optimistic about the economy, right? And, I suppose you could cut a tax right at that moment, okay, and get some acceleration even more out of it, right? But you never need to do it because in a boom, people usually overshoot anyway, right?
There's money anyway, right?
I mean, anyway. So, what the hell good can it, and in a depression, it doesn't do a damn bit of good.
Well, and now, with the globalization of finances, you know, we find more and more corporations hiding their money in Caribbean tax havens, in Switzerland, in any number of places around the globe. And they're just, quite frankly, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm 62 years old. I've been involved in this movement since I was 17. I have yet to see in my adult life a tax cut that translated into building productive capacity and putting people to work in America. It just doesn't happen. And and all the evidence is in. So that is their major argument, right, John?
Oh, yeah. And actually, one of the big champions, Ronald Reagan, of this entire, you know, fraud, you know, proved it himself, because the only growth he got out of the economy after he was military spending.
Right.
You know, there wasn't a...
Right.
And raising the national debt by some big order of magnitude.
Right.
Anyway, I know. It's a thoughtless thing, so we're going to... But I feel like it's...
Well, we got a real shot at beating this tax reform. I mean...
I hope so. Now that you found that, you know, inside the... shall we say, shit sandwich, there was a little beating heart of a baby that they buried, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's so grotesque what these guys are doing. I can't believe that the polls are the, especially the ones that took place in Virginia and New Jersey and a few other places, I can't believe that that is not a rebuke to this insanity.
Well, it is a rebuke. I just don't know if the people who are promoting this insanity and continuing this insanity care enough about the rebuke to change their ways. I mean, it certainly was a rebuke. And again, you know, all the polling showed that the in New Jersey and West Virginia, that the Achilles heel of the GOP, of the Republican Party, was health care. And yet they continue to try to destroy Obamacare. And I, you know, friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, it is a mistake to underestimate the evil power of racism. And, you know, quite frankly, we're going to do this on another show, not today, but quite frankly, that is the heart of the power of the Republican Party. It's the heart of their majority, and it comes out, and they're hiding it less and less and less. Let me read this poem, John, if y'all don't mind.
Sure.
Bear with me for just a few seconds while I read this poem about taxes. We soon tire of talking about taxes. The percentages and numbers just dizzy some of us, till determined to dig beneath the numbers, we see tax cuts for the rich cause cuts to food, health care, education. When we see tax reform is GOP talk for taking our kids' money and well-being and giving ever more of what we've built and earned to those who despise and disdain all of us who work for a living.
You know, Stuart.
And that is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
No, I mean, that's a fitting testament, but I feel like it was read before, or like it was written before we found out that West Virginia had been sold to China. Somehow that adds an even more weird dimension to the fate of those of us here in this little colony number 10.
Well, to find out that West Virginia was sold to China. Well,
I mean,
you know, we're not the only ones. I mean, we may be the first, but we won't be the last time Trump gets done French kissing Qing or Chang, the whole country will be sold to China.
So now we see the ace that was in Jim Justice's, I don't want to say hole.
Before we forget and run out of time, and thank y'all for joining us. This is John Case and Stuart Acuff on Resistance Radio here at www.enlightenradio.org, the rock of Appalachia, the blues of the Blue Ridge, enlightenradio.org. There's an even darker shadow on the horizon. And this is the shadow that touches our hearts and our souls. And if you've ever had a mother, and I think all of us have, if you've ever had a sister, if you've ever had a baby girl, if you've ever been married or had a lover who was a woman, it should touch all of you. And that is the horror of Roy Moore, the candidate for the Senate, Republican candidate for the United States Senate from Alabama. The horror of his assaults on girls, on children, and the cover he's been given by the Republican Party. And before I read this poem, let me just tell you that I read yesterday that despite Mitch McConnell's denunciation of Roy Moore, despite the National Republican Senatorial Committee's denunciation of Roy Moore, there are still paid organizers paid by the Republican Party on the ground in Alabama working to get Roy Moore elected. The Republican Party today is an abomination to the United States of America. The Republican Party today has given up any reason for its existence, any argument for continuation. The Republican Party today is an anchor on the United States of America. So I wrote this, I think, yesterday. We all watched Roy Moore's fifth truth teller on TV. She was 16, a year older than my daughter when he tried to rape her. The first truth teller was only 14 when he secretly, with malice, abused her. How many kids have lost a child's innocence to a sick bastard too evil to do anything but become a monster? I hate these human horrors who have no excuse for breathing. But even more, I despise the sane, wise men who by silence endorse the horror. The entire Republican Party is willing to sacrifice the childhoods of our children for tax cuts for their masters.
Well,
sad day, huh?
It is. I mean, it's I don't even know how to go there, really. It's very you know, Judge Roy Moore, he's been getting away with this for years, apparently, and it wasn't unknown.
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, the ultra hypocrisy of his even some of his decisions. I was reading this morning that had been biased toward, you know, releasing offenders on trivial, you know, technical matters. Okay. And in some cases where the victim was underage.
Wow.
So, I mean, I just, you know, but these guys in the Congress, it seems to be just 100% political calculation. I mean, I heard a rumor yesterday, for example, that McConnell was considering denying this guy a seat by some Senate rule whereby he, if Sessions wanted to resign as being Attorney General, he could get his seat back. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they would do that, but that, I heard that floated around.
The governor would appoint him.
But then Sessions made an ass of himself again in front of everybody. And then, I mean, it's...
Now you watch Sessions and you either think this guy's a crook or a fool or both. I mean, there's no getting around that he's a lying bastard.
Well, yeah.
That the whole Trump administration is up to its ears in treason. Collusion has now been proven openly. We can all see it. Yes, no, collusion is not a legal term. Collusion is not necessarily illegal, but treason is illegal. And when you sell the American national election to the Russians, you're guilty of treason. And that's what Donald Trump and his team did.
Well, I mean, he... I think he did that, but somehow China is going to get the pie, it looks to me like.
Yeah.
I don't know what Vladimir is getting out of it. Although Bush, Trump looks like his puppy. And there's a little whistle that whenever Vladimir blows on it, apparently Trump just peeps right up and
there
says, I believe him. He's so believable. He's so insulted. He's so, oh my God, I'm daddy, papa, what? You know.
Well, you know, what I couldn't get over, John, was the video of them talking across a table in a room full of people and Trump saying to the entire world, the feeling I have toward you is very warm, is very close. Save that for a candlelit dinner.
He's still trying to pretend he's not physically attracted. But he can't. You know, he's seen that picture of Putin on a horse, and he's clearly.
Well, no, he didn't. He wasn't saying this to Putin. He was saying this to, how do you say it, Premier Xi?
Xi Jinping. Oh, he was saying it to him. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, well, of course, that guy has just, I think he's outplayed Trump.
And, you know, it's really...
I don't know for sure. Did you read Tom Friedman's column?
No, I haven't. But let me make this point real quickly. This is America. We take pride in being aware of how the world works. We take pride in our credibility on the street. We take pride in cool. We take pride in knowing what's going on. And so it's particularly embarrassing to us as Americans to watch the president of our nation get played like a street chump over and over every stop on this Asian trip. Man, I wonder who wrote the playbook, but they all did the same thing. It was massive ass-kissing of the quite formidable and ample ass of Donald Trump. Ass-kissing on a massive scale. Just embarrassing. I don't know about that to our listeners, but
he sold him. He effectively sold him, or is going to let him lease West Virginia.
Yeah.
And an $83.7 billion deal is bigger than the annual GNP of West Virginia.
Yeah.
By about $8 or $9 billion.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if anything like that came anywhere near, for half that price, the state can be bought.
Yeah.
So it's just now what is West Virginia offering up? Because you and I know that this, in the list of how the world works things, that the Chinese are not throwing in $83.7 billion and expecting not to get double that back. Okay, so now what is the West Virginia side of the deal? Okay, so it might be worth knowing.
Right. Well, I mean, it would be sad if the West Virginia side of the deal was to give up our force, and you know, I dread that day when they say we're going to mow down the forests without regard or thinking about how to replace the forest as you cut the forest, without regard or thinking about how you sustain, you know, a resource, a growing resource like the forest. But I worry that people are thinking like the bottom line. What is the bottom line in West Virginia? What do we really have to offer? And we've got a lot of people who need good jobs. A lot of people who need good jobs, not just jobs, but good jobs, family sustaining jobs. We got a lot of people who need jobs. We got some coal left in the ground. We have the basis for a great hospitality economy because the state is so beautiful and there's so many mountains. So we've got the foundation for a hospitality economy. But really at the bottom line, what do we have that's most liquid right now is our forests. And I worry that the money grubbers are already looking to exploit that. So that may be what the return is.
Yeah, I don't know. They got that amount of money is going to roll over almost everybody in the legislature.
Yeah, I'm
and,
sure.
Although, is it real? I mean, that's the other question that we get. A memorandum of understanding. It's not quite a contract. And you can't. And according to Justice's statement, there was no strings of the kind of like changes in laws like that, changes in the taxation system. But nonetheless, they're going to use it. They're going to pony up on this and use it to run through their getting rid of the personal property tax and the corporate property tax. I think one of part of them, for example, a lot of this. The gas actual drilling is one thing, but all the production that comes afterwards is then removed from the process, from taxation. So there could be a deal there. I mean, there's lots of things in the whole thing. Ted Bettner, by the way, was on yesterday and made a really good short but to the point analysis of nobody knows what the West Virginia side is. And but the Chinese need natural gas to replace coal.
Yep.
You know, and how
and they've been working. They've been really working hard on green and renewable over there. They have had huge wind and solar project in China.
But they got a mix. They want a mix of they want a mix of everything. I mean, they're trying to replace the coal, but all of it, I believe, depends on this hub, right? Where you can ship the stuff out of the Maryland. That would be the.
Right.
I can't believe it's not dependent on that too, and probably some.
Except that Philly has a natural gas exporting.
If there's a capacity. Pipeline that goes there, but
it goes from Western Philly. So that's been a pretty serious project.
So anyway, if they can get the gas to port, then you can develop the shale, I suppose, big time. I guess. I don't know. Is that all that's going on? It's hard to. It's. It looks to me though like basically the state has. This is the kind of Republican or whatever approach to I ain't got no more money, so I guess we're for sale.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. I ain't got no money, so I guess we're for sale. John, let's go to the second song of the hour. We're zipping through this hour.
Okay.
And I got a few more things I want to talk about. Let's go to this.
Which one?
This second song. What was the second song?
Love and Happiness?
What?
Love and Happiness?
Love and Happiness. Love and Happiness.
Okay.
Yeah. Man. Goes together.
Here we go.
Love
man.
And happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Hey. Oh, baby, love and happiness.
Hey.
Love and happiness.
Tennessee, on the banks of the Mississippi River, South Memphis. That is the right Reverend Al Green, Love and Happiness. Now he's preaching every Sunday that he's in town. We're going to close the show today, I hope, with another song by Reverend Al Green. He didn't have the hit with it, but I don't know if John has it, but I found a great video this morning of Reverend Al Green in church with a little quartet doing People Get Ready.
I do have a copy of Get People Get Ready. I'm not sure if it's the copy that was in the church. I'd have to go check on that. Not sure if it's that.
Yeah, don't worry. Comment. I mean, don't worry. Whatever you got, whether it's Al Green or Curtis Mason.
No, it's Al Green. It's Al Green.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, great. That's probably the same thing I was looking at. Let me just remind people, call, if you're in West Virginia, call Senator Shelley Moore Capito right now. Her number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. And tell her to stop the fake tax reform and stop the assault on Obamacare. That's all you got to do. To say, hey, how you doing? My name is Stuart Acuff. I live in Martinsburg, West Virginia, 25401. Tell the senator I'm calling to say stop fake tax reform. I'm calling to say stop the assault on the ACA and Obamacare. That's all you got to say. It's that quick, that simple. There's nothing more important you can do today other than love your children than to call your senator. If you're listening today, I've got a friend listening in Wales today. Mark Turner's listening. A brother trade unionist is listening in Wales today, getting a little taste of Memphis over in Cardiff. But if you're listening anywhere in America, call your senator today. Tell them, stop the fake tax reform, whether they're Republican or Democrat. And stop the assault on Obamacare. Folks, we're winning this war. Every battle is bloody and tough and hard as hell. But Trump's trying to run in mud. And he's trying to escape a G-man. That's what they used to call the FBI. He's trying to escape a G-man that's hot on his ass and about to indict everybody in Trump's world. But this resistance, and I'm not talking about myself, all y'all out there, this resistance has slowed him to a crawl. He hasn't been able to run as hard and fast towards fascism as he intended to. We got a lot of work to do, but we got to stay on it day after day after day. This is our responsibility right now. So please, today, pick up your telephone, call your senator. If you're from West Virginia, please call Shelley Moore Capito and tell them stop the fake tax reform and stop yet another Republican assault on Obamacare ACA. You really do want to kill millions of Americans, don't you, Republican Party? You really do want to commit negligent homicide against millions of Americans, and you call yourself patriots. Oh, make you want to holler. Make you want to holler.
You do.
As my friend James Hester, who I organized in East Texas with, he used to say, that some bitch ain't no good walking or riding.
Right. Final
and that
sentence.
Party ain't no good walking or riding, John Case.
No, it's not. No, it's but if you're considering running as a for office as a Republican, you must be a lion sack of you know what. I mean, it's not possible for you to do. I mean, I don't care what your intentions were, but you're going to twist yourself into a pretzel, and then again and again. And actually, all circulation to your head will be lost.
That's exactly right.
You won't even know you're
lying. Right. exactly right, John Case. That's exactly right. Wiser words have never been spoken. Well, this is a fun show today. I'm glad everybody has joined us, friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We're awful happy to have you. Three main takeaways from this show is A, call Shelley Moore Capital or call your senator. 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, 224-3121, and tell them to stop the assault on Obamacare and their fake tax reform. Second assault is this tax reform is going to end up costing the middle class. It's not going to benefit the working class at all. It's just a massive giveaway to those who already make more in a day than they can spend in a lifetime. And all they want is more and more and more until we live ever deeper in poverty, ever deeper in poverty, headed towards squalor for the sake of their fabulous wealth. How many 100-foot-long yachts can you own? How many houses can you live in? How much wealth makes you happy? How much wealth do you have to burn to fill that empty hole in your soul, Mr. GOP? John, I think that might be the first line of my next poem.
Hole in your soul. Say that again now.
How much wealth do you have to burn to fill that hole in your soul?
Hole in your soul. Yeah, right. Okay.
I got to play with that one.
It could happen. You might. Yeah, you could go places with that. I mean, you could go.
Yeah.
It's a handsome metaphor that you make. Launch.
Thank you, John.
Toward the stars.
Nobody's ever accused me of coming up with a handsome metaphor before. Thank you.
Well, it's kind of like it may be dressing it up in a zoot suit, but okay.
Right. For those of you who don't know John and me personally, John, I try to write poetry, and I write every day, and a lot of it gets published. Thank God it. In heaven, and you can always find it on my Facebook page. And John is the greatest student, and he's a secret composer, the greatest student and a secret composer of great poetry. In this area here in the Eastern Panhandle, where we have so many writers and poets,
the death of
John
Moses
is the greatest students amongst us.
Well, you know, that's I feel like you know, the shepherd when he witnessed the marriage of Joseph and Mary. What truth should he tell? I mean, there's the blessed event,
right?
That the blessed consequence. And it's true that people didn't live. I mean, I don't really believe the stories that Joseph was 90. Okay. I mean, why not? Well, I don't believe that the lifespan back in the ancient days went that way. I think there was a multiplication table that somebody was using when they wrote that. Okay. So I'm doubtful about that number, to be truthful. Okay. But still, I'm sure it was true that children were, could be betrothed as young as 12, 14 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and, you know, allegedly she was a virgin, right? So, I mean, I posted a copy of Gary Huck's outrageous cartoon, which we talked about in the beginning, in which he has the mother of Jesus, Mary, you know, wearing a Me Too t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then my good friend, you know, a friend that we both know, very devout person, okay, commented and was upset about it, right? And said, well, but it was a blessed consequence.
Lord have mercy.
Well, okay. I mean, you
could see how folks can get. But I go back.
I don't know. It's a hard thing to think about. Except if you go back, people weren't. I don't think people were living much longer than 35 years. And if you didn't start raising your, I mean, that's true. There was an unbelievable much lower age of get it done.
But you know, and we're getting close to the hour. But let's say that this discussion about Joseph and Mary and Jesus and how Joseph was and how Mary was is a giant distraction from the awful horror of child rape and child abuse.
It is, and I apologize for that.
And scores of other Republicans. Please call your senator today. Tell him stop the fake tax cuts, 202-224-3121. And John, please take us out. Please join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. John, please take us out on some very sweet singing by the Right Reverend Al Green.
Happy to do it, Stuart. All right.
Tennessee. Thank you, my brother.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate you so much. Thanks, everybody. This has been the Rock of Appalachia Resistance Radio. Stuart Acuff signing off. Bye now.
Okay.